Transmission start. Welcome to Where Did the Road Go? Join us as we wander off the path and explore lost history, consciousness, the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, alternative thought, and much more. We are present on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com. Now here is your host, Soraya.
All right, welcome to the show. This is kind of a short little interview I did with Joseph Fink, co-creator of Welcome to Night Vale, which is a fictional podcast. And if you're not familiar with it, I think anyone into this type of stuff will get a kick out of it. It's very Lovecraftian, and it pulls from a lot of different paranormal fields. It's very weird and unique. So if you've never checked them out, give them a try. You might be entertained. And here's my quick talk with Joseph Fink.
And I am speaking with Joseph Fink, the co-creator of Welcome to Night Vale. How are you doing tonight, Joseph?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. And you, when exactly did you come up with this whole concept for Welcome to Night Vale?
So I got fired from a job in 2012. So I had a couple months where I didn't have a job, and I just started writing these little weird bits from this town in the desert where every conspiracy theory was true. And after a few months, I put that together into a first episode script and kind of made a test episode with Cecil, who does our voice, and with John, who does our music. And then worked with Jeffrey on writing it. And so kind of from getting fired in January of 2012, we then had the launch of the podcast in June of 2012. So it took about kind of 6 months of meandering to get to it.
I came into it pretty late, honestly, maybe about a year ago. And you had already been to Ithaca twice, as I found out listening through your shows. And I was always like, oh, when are they going to? Oh, I'm still way behind. But like the description of it was something like community radio broadcasts for a strange town where all conspiracy theories are true. And I thought, how is that going to work? Like, it just didn't, like, the description just sounded like, I can't imagine this being entertaining, but you guys have done an amazing amount, mostly with just narration.
Yeah, well, so we all come out of downtown New York theater. That's sort of our roots. I moved to New York, like 9 years ago now. Oh, man. I fell in among this theater company called the New York Neo Futurists that does a show every twice a week in the East Village. And that's how I met Jeffrey, who co-writes with me. That's how I met Cecil, who is our narrator. That's how I met Meg, who is our touring MC and our tour manager and also my wife. So we all kind of came out of this downtown theater where a lot of shows, you know, no one had any money because you're making theater in New York City. And so there's a lot of you don't have money for sets. You don't have money for costumes or any sort of fancy effects or even much of a cast. And so a lot of shows, it's just like a person standing on a stage telling you a story, and you have to, the writing and the performance has to be good enough for that to be gripping. And I found that amazing. I found it amazing how mesmerizing just a single person telling you a story could be. And so I really wanted to replicate that in audio, which is why we don't have much in the way of sound effects. We often don't have dialogue. We just want to see how gripping a single voice telling you a story can be.
And you do some pretty creative stuff with it as well. Like the one episode where you had it on mono, basically through half the episode, and the other ear through the other half of the episode.
Yeah, when you're working with anything, you want to just keep playing with it and seeing what you can do with the form. And so we've done episodes where we've released two episodes simultaneously that tell the same events from two different points of view. We've done ones that are about you, the listener.
Yes.
We did a story about you. We did that. Yeah, we did that one all right, where the entire episode was done through just the right stereo channel, and the directions were to leave the other headphone off so that you could listen to the world while listening to the episode.
Where do you get some of the ideas for this?
Yeah, I mean, as a writer, you get asked that a lot, and I feel like that's a great question for like a neuroscientist. I don't really know the method that ideas come, because it's just, you know, we've been writing continuously for years and years now. You know, we produce two Night Vale scripts a week. Jesus, that would be a lot. We produce two Night Vale scripts a month. And so it's just constantly writing. So you reach a point where you're just like, well, I need to write two pages now. And you just start writing. And maybe you have like a seed of something, or maybe you don't. Maybe you just have like a mood you're going for. And you just sort of trust your brain to fill in something. And it has every time so far.
Yeah. And you do have some arc stories going. Now, when you do those, do you plan those out over time, or you just kind of go with them as they go?
A little of both. You know, the very first time we did that, we had this whole plot line about Night Vale being invaded and their fight against their invaders. And it became this very lengthy thing that climaxed with a live show in New York City, that where we had a bunch of people and it was this whole big show. And that was a story that just started by accident. Like Jeffrey just made a choice in one episode and I was like, oh, okay, I see where we're going with this. And I just started building on that choice. And eventually, you know, we got together and we're like, okay, this is the story we're telling. Let's plan out the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But the start of it, we didn't know we were starting a longer story until it had already happened. Now we're a little more aware of it. You know, we knew, I think, the storyline for this year several months ago. As the last storyline was ending, we were already talking about, here's vaguely what we want the next year of the show to be about. And then each time we meet once a month to talk through stuff, and I think each time we met, we just kind of honed in, okay, here's what we've done so far, so here's where we want to go next with this.
Now, do you do these like as they're coming up, like do you do it for 2 weeks and then put the podcast out, or are you a few ahead?
We try to always be a few ahead for a few reasons. I mean, you know, we need time to write it, and then Cecil needs time to record it. And then once Cecil's recorded, I need time to audio edit it. So there's just a lot of steps that I think generally would take longer than 2 weeks to do. Also, we go on tour, and, you know, once we're on tour, you know, Cecil has this whole month where he can't record anything. So we had to make sure that we had all the episodes we needed recorded before he left. We try to stay really ahead of it. We are very busy, though, so we often are not as ahead as we'd like to be.
So let's talk a little about your live show. How did this idea come about? Is it just because you were in theater and decided to translate it over that way?
Yeah, you know, when you're making a free podcast that doesn't have any advertising, you're looking at, okay, so how do we make any like living from this? You know, we have a bunch of people involved. How do those people earn anything back from all the work they're putting into it? And we knew that some podcasts were doing live shows. It was less of a thing then. You know, I think there was more of a culture of, you know, if there's like a comedy festival or whatever, you do a one-off live show, or you might, yeah, just do a live show in your hometown because you're already there. I don't think there was that many shows actively touring before us. Maybe The Moth, but even then, I think their structure is a little different. I think they have like independent shows. I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, we were looking at, okay, we come out of theater, so we know how to make a live show. That's just it's very much in our skill set. We know both artistically, like we know how to write scripts that are designed for a live audience. Cecil is a trained stage actor. He very much knows how to stand on a stage and control a crowd. And then we just, on a technical level, we just all know how to put together a stage show. We know the steps. We know how to budget that. And so we just started touring it. You know, we did the very first one, we just did a West Coast tour. We did, I think, 8 shows, I want to say, on the West Coast. And then we just kind of from there started touring continuously. We've since done over 200 shows in 35 states and 16 countries is, I think, where we're at now.
Wow. And you're going to be in Ithaca on the 11th of April at the State Theater. And yes. What can people expect from a live show with you guys? I mean, I've downloaded, you know, from your Bandcamp, you have clips, plus you have the full show, if you can buy the full shows. And they sound fantastic. They sound amazing. The audience seems to really get into it. But there's no visual. What are people going to see at a show like this?
So, you know, it's done, I think, very radio theater style in that there's some microphones on the stage and the actors will stand there with their scripts. But again, these are our trained stage actors. So there's definitely an acknowledgement of the audience in a room, and they're very much playing to the audience, not just looking down at a script reading. There's John, who does the music for the show. He's on stage playing that soundtrack live. And that's something we didn't, in our very earliest shows, we were just playing like clips of the music behind Cecil, and having John there performing it is really, I think, makes it very special. He's a really incredible musician. We write our live shows to be self-contained live shows. You don't even have to have heard of our podcast before. or have listened to any of it to understand the story of the night. We always try to make it a self-contained story. And it's usually involves some, you know, light audience participation in just in the sense of like bringing the audience into the action, not as in you have to go stand on stage, but just acknowledging that there's an audience there and having them say stuff or cheer. We want to bring a different energy to it than we do with a podcast. I think it's over. This is our fifth, I want to say, live script that we've done. And I think we've really honed it into a live show that is, I don't know, I see a lot of live shows. I go to a lot of theater, I go to a lot of live shows, and I feel like we put on one that I can really stand behind as a really good time.
Okay, what is the general idea of this one?
So this one's called All Hail, and it's about a sort of fan favorite character that's been around since the beginning, which is the Glow Cloud, a mysterious glowing cloud that came into town one day. It has the tendency to control the minds of anyone who comes close to it. So anyone that comes close to it just starts worshiping it. So in this story, the Glow Cloud, for after years of existing in peace in Nightvale, suddenly descends on the radio station and starts causing chaos for reasons that no one can figure out. And the audience is brought into the interaction with the Glow Cloud. Yeah, you know, our last one before this one, Ghost Stories, I think it was a very quiet, very personal story, a very creepy story. And so we didn't want to always do the same energy each time. So this time we wanted to go for something very fun that really brings the audience into the story.
Okay. All right. The tour goes on how much, because for people who aren't in Ithaca, the tour goes on how much beyond that?
Oh, it's going all over. So it's in Montreal tonight. We're going all through Massachusetts and then New York, all down the East Coast, all the way down to Atlanta, then up to Louisville, and then into the whole Midwest, from Iowa City and Minneapolis, all the way over to like Detroit and Columbus. We're going, I think, 30 or so places.
Okay, so is this near the beginning?
Yeah. So Ithaca. So you'll probably be about the 10th show. So we should have that script pretty honed by then.
All right. Did you ever expect it to blow up like it has?
No, you know, when we started, it's just when you're working in that kind of downtown theater, you just always have projects. You're always just like, oh, I'm going to make a thing. And then you make it and then you're done. And this was just another one of those. It's like, we're writers, we're performers, let's make a thing. Our entire goal when we started was just having anyone we didn't personally know listen to it. Like, that was our entire goal. We didn't just think it would be difficult to have it become a thing we could make a living from. It honestly never occurred to us that that was a possibility. That was never why we started it. It became this happy accident.
And since then you've put out a few books.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We did a completely standalone brand new story novel, also called Welcome to Nightvale, but it was entirely new material about different, you know, characters that weren't major parts of the podcast, really telling a new story. Then last year we released the first two volumes of our show, so like the scripts of the show, but illustrated and with behind the scenes commentary on every episode. And then this fall on October. My publisher's going to kill me. I don't quite mid-October somewhere. I want to say October 17th. We are releasing our second Welcome to Nightvale novel called It Devours, which is also a brand new story, entirely standalone. I'm really excited about this one. It's this very fun, I think, page-turny thriller about a strange new religion that pops up in Nightvale and their smiling god that may actually be a physical thing coming to Nightvale.
And of course you got a bunch of merch on your website as well. And some really, really amusing merch, honestly. You have some great stuff there.
Yeah, we work closely with those artists. You know, everyone who's making the merch is people that we know quite well and that we've worked with for a long time, and everything Jeffrey and I personally are involved in the design and sign off on. We really want to make sure that everything we put out is something we can 100% stand behind as something we also think is cool.
Now you have a few other podcasts under Nightvale Presents now. My favorite of them has to be Alice Isn't Dead.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's just started its second season. That's a project I write, just on my own. That, you know, that started actually with the live show, in that we were touring this live show all over. I was spending years I was spending 4-5 months on the road out of the year. So I was just doing a lot of sitting in a van and driving around our country, and I just started taking notes, and I had all these travelogue notes, and then I just started turning those into this kind of horror thriller about a trucker searching the country for her wife. And then I brought that to Jessica Nicole, because Jessica is a really incredible performer and really able to make a script come alive. And I brought that to John, again, our musician, because he is just really a brilliant when it comes to designing sound. I'm super proud of Alice. You know, it's stressful, obviously, having a second project when you already have this ongoing show, but I'm really, really happy with being able to do a show like that.
And it's very different from Night Vale in that it has a much more serious bend to it.
Yeah, the goal there was to do something that was darker and far more serious. You know, Night Vale often, you know, Night Vale is sometimes sad and sometimes creepy, but it always comes back to comedy to kind of balance that out. And with Alice, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to write something that was just straightforward creepy. And also something that, you know, Night Vale just keeps going. It's an ongoing story of a town. So it doesn't really have a beginning or an end. It's just sort of the life in that town as stuff happens. Whereas Alice is something that is much more focused. It's only going to go a certain amount of time. It has a beginning, a middle, and end. So it's a lot of fun to be able to write something a little more focused that way.
And I have to say, sometimes you're writing, you or whoever is writing specific dialogue can get really deep. Both in Night Vale and Alice Isn't Dead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what we have to express ourselves as these shows. So we're just constantly writing our life into these continuing weird fiction dramas. It's an interesting way to express yourself, to kind of find a way to channel everything that's happening, or that everything that you're seeing, or everything that you're feeling, and channeling it through these stories that are surreal or creepy or funny. I think it's a lot of ways, it's a way more interesting challenge than just writing like nonfiction about yourself.
I can see that. Obviously especially in Night Vale, there's a Lovecraftian influence. Are you influenced by any of the more or less real paranormal or conspiracy theories floating around out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of conspiracy theories. I always have been. I don't really believe most of them, right. But I just find them really amazing as stories. As a kid, I used to borrow books of conspiracy theories from the library and read, you know, about Men in Black and about UFO sightings and stuff like that. And I just really found those stories really interesting. Yeah, I just always was attracted to them. You know, now I have, in my traveling, I'll do a lot of stopping at used bookstores and picking out whatever conspiracy or paranormal books they have. So I have a collection of, you know, books on lost continents and government conspiracies, and sometimes I'll flip through those for inspiration.
Nice. Have you ever had any weird experiences yourself?
I mean, having a podcast blow up was super weird. That was probably the most surreal thing. Like, I don't know, when you have a job this strange, everything is weird. Like, you know, it's a job where your work involves driving around to all these places you never thought you'd go, and then saying weird things on a stage. So there's very little of my life that isn't surreal. We've definitely seen some weird things on the road. You know, there was one theater we did that had its bathroom was just down like in a labyrinth of hallways and what appeared to be an abandoned office building with like flickering fluorescent lights. And next to the bathrooms was a door that was locked, and it said on the outside, "Do not open." And then below that, on cardboard, in like letters that started out big and then got smaller as they ran out of room, "Accounting Department." So we all avoided going to the bathroom unless we absolutely had to.
Wow. All right. So again, you're going to be performing in Ithaca at the State Theater on Tuesday, April 11th. But you're doing a lot of dates after that, and I assume you'll eventually do another tour as well.
I hope.
This is going well for you overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. You know, especially since we started Night Vale Presents, we have this situation where we're running a touring live show, we're running a business, and we're writing multiple shows. So it's been a very interesting time to be like taking on maybe too much in terms of our health levels. You know, it's a thing. I've basically been working nonstop for the last couple of years, but it's also been work that's been really exciting. And yeah, like business wise, Night Vale's been doing great in terms of we've been sustainable. We can pay our artists. People keep showing up when we do shows. So it's, I don't know, like you can't really ask for more when you're a writer and a performer.
All right. I guess the last thing I wanted to ask you about is, how did you come up with the idea for the weather? Because the first one I listened to, boy, did that throw me. You go to the weather announcement and music starts.
Well, yeah, music's always been very important to me. My father was a professional musician. I grew up playing music. So music's been something that I'm just really, yeah, it's been a big part of my life since I was very little. The original idea for the show had this, I had these ideas that were, there would be different segments that would each always be a different thing. So there would be like a traffic section that would always be like a guest performer coming in and performing a monologue. And then there would be a weather section that would always be a guest performer doing a song. Of those, the only one that stuck was the weather. I really like having this moment of music, partly because it allows us to showcase really good music by both people that I've been fans of for years and also people that are just completely independent people recording in their bedroom and sending us the song. You know, I found some really amazing music that way. And, you know, it's also allowed us to cultivate relationships with a lot of these musicians. We're now friends with a good number of these musicians who have been on the weather and who have come and toured with us. So the live show has an opening act that is the weather artist, and then they come back and play the weather song live. For this one, we're touring with Erin McGeown, who is somebody I've genuinely been listening to since I was in high school. I'm a huge fan of her music, and I think she does really amazing stuff live as well. So a lot of that was just being able to bring music into it. It also is useful for script structure because this is getting a little technical, but generally our scripts are in present tense, but when it comes to the big climactic moment, it would be hard to do that in present tense. So there has to be a moment where we switch from present to past tense. And the weather provides a very convenient time to do that, where we're in present tense and the weather happens, and then we can describe the big climactic moment of the story in past tense.
Yeah. And I've noticed that although I don't always like the weather, I don't think there's been a single artist where I could say this isn't good. I mean, it's always quality stuff that you throw in there. Even if it doesn't happen to click with me, it's always good stuff that you pick out.
Yeah, I mean, we've done, you know, we're at episode 106, I think, is the next one coming out. So, you know, it's unlikely that all of those songs would click with you, but they're all songs that I personally think are really good. And, you know, it's interesting because it's like sometimes, you know, sometimes they're by people who are quite successful. You know, we've had songs by the Mountain Goats and Doomtree. We've had songs from Against Me. And these are all bands with quite big followings.
Right.
And then, you know, some of them are like, we've had songs that were just one song. Like this guy sent us this song. Looking at his website, he didn't seem to have any other songs. He didn't seem to be a musician. It was just this one song he recorded and he sent it in. I thought it was really cool and I put it on the show. So it's nice, I think, having that balance.
How many songs do you get submitted that you don't use?
You know, quite a lot. So we try to, at this point, we only have the weather submission open for a little bit because we get so many. Last time wasn't, you know, the first time we really took submissions was August of 2014. And we got like, I think 5,000 songs in about 2 weeks. And then I spent the next year or two going kind of slowly working my way through it because no one else was listening to them except me. It was just me going through them and picking them out. We just recently did another weather selection window.
Yeah.
And, you know, I already have too many songs I like. I have more songs I like from that than I'm going to be able to use. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's awesome, though. I mean, it tells you the depth of your audience right there.
Yeah, they're really. I really love our fans. They're, you know, we've met a lot of other people that have different fan bases, and I feel like ours are really something special in that they're very nice. You know, we even get venues coming to us being like, "You have the nicest audience that we've ever had," and I really appreciate that about the people that listen to our show.
All right. Where can people find everything?
So, welcometonightvale.com for the podcast and for the live shows. You know, if they go to that, they can find the ticket link for the Ithaca show. Night Vale Presents is the network itself. We have four different shows now. Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, Within the Wires, and the Orbiting Human Circus of the Air. So there's links to all of those if you want to try out some other interesting fiction shows and see what other shows we have coming up. But yeah, the main one is welcometonightvale.com and click on live shows to find tickets.
All right. And thank you so much for spending some time with us, Joseph. I know you're very busy.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And we're going to close this off with one of the artists I actually discovered through listening to Welcome to Night Vale. This is Eliza Rickman and a song called Pretty Little Head. And you can find her on Bandcamp.
Dirty mouth, pretty little head. But where's your dirty mouth, pretty little hand. Wish you were here, wish you'd make my bed. Dirty mind, dirty mouth, pretty little